Good morning. Good to see you here this morning. You know, we're starting a new series, and normally series build to something. You know, you kind of start here and you go to here, but we're doing this in a sense backwards to me, but frontwards for God. In other words, this is the way the Lord wants to do it. And so as we come and we look at tuning in, being able to hear God's voice in a noisy world, I'm going to give you four steps today that will allow every person within the sound of my voice to be able to hear from God. Now, that's a pretty hefty promise, isn't it? But you can take it to the bank, so to speak. I promise you, if you do these four steps, you will hear from God. No exceptions. I really, and how many people believe I'm telling you the truth? Okay, a few of you. Some of you are a little skeptical. Some of you are like, yeah, I want to hear first, then I'll put my hand up. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But to begin to lay a foundation for this, I want to ask you a question. How much do you value hearing from God? You know, if you look at your life and you look at the things that you do value, you do what? You put time, effort, money into. But the things you don't value, you don't put those things into. And it's important for you and I to realize that for us to hear from God, there is a part, a role that we play. But before we go down that road, I want to share with you a scripture, because here's the thing. For some of us, we're not even sure whether God still speaks today. Honestly, there are people, Christians out there, that believe that God really doesn't speak directly to his people today, that he's done doing that. I want to tell you unequivocally that Jesus is still speaking today. And if you have your Bibles or your apps, if you'll turn to John chapter 10, verse 27 says this, that, and Jesus is speaking, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, again, these are the words of Jesus. John, the Apostle John, is writing this as he heard Jesus speak. And, you know, as you read the Gospel of John, it's intimate. It's about being close to Jesus. And here is Jesus himself saying, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, you notice how it says, "My sheep hear my voice." It doesn't say, "My sheep sometimes hear my voice." "My sheep could hear my voice." It doesn't say that at all, does it? It says, "My sheep hear my voice." So, in other words, it's not optional. You know, you can't have two Christians and say to one, "Do you hear God's voice?" Yes, and the other one, "No." That's okay. No, it's not. In other words, Jesus says that if you're his sheep, you will hear his voice. And so here's what we need to come to a conclusion at this very moment, that the problem isn't at God's end. Amen. Where is it? Probably at our end. It's kind of like that guy, you saw that intro video, right? Here's this guy so busy with life, and here's God putting sticky notes, you know, all over the place, saying, "I'm proud of you, I'm here for you." And the guy's what? Oblivious to it, right? He's just going along. And I've seen this video a couple times, you know, in preparation. And so last night, in the middle of the night, I literally sprang out of bed and said, "I got it." Let me tell you what happened to me, all right? So I'd seen the video. I knew we were going to use it and everything. But if you remember in the video, the guy has the pizza box. You notice that it says "fresh dough daily" on the front. Did you see that? I went, "Oh, manna, fresh manna from heaven. It's just like the children of Israel. God wants to give us fresh manna every day." And here's this guy so fixated on eating natural pizza, natural dough, when God wants to give him manna from heaven. Isn't that amazing? And I'm sure they intended to do it, but I just got it in the middle of the night last night. All right? I'm a little slow. It's kind of like a person tells me a joke. I'm like, the next day, I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I got it." So probably some of you got that right as you watched. You did? Oh, okay. Well, I didn't. I was looking at the notes behind. Anyway, it's okay. You know what? As long as you get it in the end, that's the important part, all right? So God wants to speak to us what? Not last week, last month, last year. He wants to do that, but he wants to speak to us now. He wants to give us manna from heaven, his living word to our hearts today. Why? So that we can function. So if you go back to that scripture just for a moment, just have a look at it. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The way this is structured, this sentence, is very interesting. It's known as Semitic language, I should get that right. And what it means is the language of that day isn't like today. In other words, if I told you a story, I would either begin with the important part at the front. I would say, "Hey, I was in a car accident." And then I would tell you the details of it. So that's one way it could happen. Or I would say, "Let me tell you what happened." And I would say, "I started my day, I drove here, I drove there, and wham, this person hit me." In other words, you tell it at the start or at the end. You understand what I'm saying? You would never put the important part in the middle. You just don't do that. That's not how we do things today. But that's how they did it back in that day. They would nestle right in the middle of the sentence or in the middle of the paragraph or the middle of the parable, the most important part. What's the most important part here? I know them. I know you. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the most important part. And out of knowing you, he does what? He speaks to you. Out of knowing you, he speaks to you. And then as you hear him, you what? You can follow him. It's because he knows you. He wants to talk to you. Because you've accepted him into your heart. Now what he wants to do is commune with you and fellowship with you. Now, as I began to research out this sentence, man, it was awesome. I love God's word. It is just so awesome. So as we look at that, my sheep hear my voice. Okay, we're called sheep in the Bible. That's easy, all right? But it says, here's my voice. That word hear doesn't mean just to hear naturally, but to perceive or understand what's being said. So that makes sense. But the word voice, I'm like, okay, well, what does it really mean? Does it mean, you know, just, you know, the voice meaning kind of abstract kind of thing? What does it really mean? So I looked it up in the Greek. Now, here's the most amazing thing. You know what the word for voice is in the Greek? Phone. As in telephone. In fact, the word telephone is actually two Greek words. Tele means distant. Phone means voice. That's literally what it means, distant voice. And so we use the word telephone probably daily or the word phone every day. And yet, here's what Jesus is saying. My sheep hear my telephone. That's pretty cool. In other words, he wants to make a call. He wants to talk to you as clearly as you hear someone on the phone. Now, let's not go back to the 90s, cell phones in the 90s, where it was, hello, hello, hello. You know, not a bad connection, but literally crystal clear digital connection to heaven. Literally, that's what Jesus is saying here. I want to phone you. I want to be able to talk to you so it's as clear as on a telephone. Not in some abstract way, not just a feeling or an emotion, but to hear his voice, just like on a telephone. So my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. That word follow means disciple. How can you follow Jesus if you don't know what he's saying? How can you be his disciple and be Christ-like if you don't know what he's telling you? And so we need to be able to hear his voice. Without his voice, you and I are walking in darkness. And all we end up doing is stumbling around and hurt ourselves. We're to walk in the light of the Lord. And for that to happen, we have to be able to hear him. And this, Jesus is saying, my sheep hear my voice. How many sheep do I have here of Jesus? Anyone? I hope all your hands are up. Amen. That means, what's it say? You're called to hear his voice. And so here's what we're going to do today. I promise you that before the end of this time together, you are going to have four steps that you will be able, not might or could, you will hear from God. You believe me still? Okay. Now let's start with step one. Step one, make an appointment. You might say, well, what do you mean make an appointment? You've got to set time aside to meet with Jesus. You can't be like that guy in that video that we watched where he's just busy going about life and it's like, hey, okay, Jesus, if you really need to get hold of me, you're not clunk me over the head or, you know, whatever. That's not how it works. For example, what if this morning I stood up here and said, you know, I knew that I was going to be meeting with you guys, but I'm not really prepared. We'll just kind of go with the flow and just let something happen here. You know, what if the musicians didn't bother practicing and nobody did anything? What if the lights weren't on and the ushers didn't come? And what if the building wasn't prepared? How would you feel walking into the appointment here this morning? How would you feel? You'd be like, they didn't get ready for me. Like, what the heck? What kind of church is this, right? Well, maybe it's the same way with God. You know, we need to set time aside. And we need to set time aside when we're at our best. And for each and every one of us, that might be different. For some of you, early morning is probably not your best. You need like 3 cups of coffee to get one eye open. You need another 4 to get the other eye open. And then you're just barely cognitive. You get what I'm saying? That's probably not a good time to meet with Jesus. Maybe you're a night owl person. You can meet maybe later in the day or maybe at lunchtime. You know, let's face it. Normally, you're given an hour for lunch. Does it really take an hour to eat, really? Or we can do two things, right? We can eat and read, you know, we can eat and seek the Lord. My point is, we need to find out when that best time is to make that appointment. But we have to make it. So step one is to make an appointment. You know, I say, all right, listen, Pastor Carl, you're kind of stretching it here. Can I give you a scripture with the word appointment in it? In the book of Amos, It was about the children of Israel had really departed from the Lord. And what had happened was God was saying, look, I want to give you an illustration of how important it is to draw back to me. And he says this in Amos 3:3, how can two men walk together unless they've made an appointment? That's the New American Standard Version. There it is, right in the Bible, right there. So here's God saying to the children of Israel, you need to make an appointment. In other words, you need to set time aside. And what is an appointment? It's a time and a place. So you need to set a time and a place to seek the Lord. Now, for some of you, that might be on your back porch somewhere in a rocking chair. For some of you that, you know, I remember back a few years when I had my own kids, there was no way to have an appointment with Jesus in my house anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I came to the church. You know, that was my sanctuary in a sense where I could just, you know, get away from the craziness of life. For some of you, it might be your car. For others, it might be your cubicle at work. You see what I'm saying? For others, it might be a park bench somewhere. The point is, you need to make an appointment, a time and a place where you are at your best to be able to seek the Lord. And it begins there. Without that, the other three steps aren't going to happen. So you need to set that time aside, make an appointment. And again, you may not think about this. You know why you don't think about this? Here's how you and I treat hearing from God. We treat hearing from God like a 5-alarm fire. In other words, it isn't until we got all hell breaking loose in our lives where our relationships are on the rocks or our finances are screwed up or our friendships are broken. Oh, God, help me. And we're crying out to him like a 5-alarm fire, 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 fire. That's where we're crying out spiritually. And that's not what I'm talking about here. This is coming to God on a daily basis. So perhaps you can avoid the 5-alarm fires. Perhaps you can hear from him and avoid some of the hardships that are coming. Or even at worst, be able to know that God's got a plan going through that hardship. And so you're not going to be feeling alone anymore. Either way, God wants to help you. You need to make the appointment. And so what I'm sharing with you today is not a one-off. In other words, you do this once and everything's good. I'm talking about on a daily basis, making an appointment with Jesus. And you need to do it. For us as a Christian, we need to meet with him. He's waiting for us, just like those sticky notes that were all over the wall for that guy. You know, God's crying out, but have we tuned in? See, I believe that God is speaking constantly, but it's like a radio station. Have we tuned in to really hear him and to hear his heart for us? And for that to happen, we have to make an appointment. So step one, what's step one? Make an appointment. Okay, we'll be reviewing this as we go on. So there is a test at the end. Just so you know, all right? All right, so let's move on. Number two. Oh, let me make a point here. It's in my notes. If we don't missed appointments, this is just really good. So it's a catchy word thing. Missed appointments will be disappointments in your life. Think of when you meet with the Lord, what God can do. Now, what did he have for you but you missed? And that will become a disappointment in your life. You don't want to have any disappointments, just appointments with Jesus. All right, let's move on to number two. Be still and worship. Now, here's the problem with that. That's really hard to do. Now, Scripture says this in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So again, this is scriptural, to be still. Now, here's the problem. You got that 5-alarm fire going on. You're like, how can I be still? I got this going on. I got that going on. Gah! You know, and you're literally kind of manifesting in front of God. And God's saying, oh, dial it back a little, son. Dial it back a little bit, daughter. I knew that was going to happen. I've got a plan, got a solution. You need to just take a chill pill. Let's just step back a little. Center yourself. Just calm down. You know, freaking out isn't going to fix anything. Let's just calm down. I'm the creator of the universe. Got a plan. Let's just stick it out. We're all going to be fine here. So you need to just be still. And that's hard to do. I get it. Because you got like, here's what you're saying. You're hearing like, be still. And you're going to say, but. No buts. Just be still. Be still, calm. Take a deep breath. It's all going to be okay. You know, you just have to do that. Now, here's the thing. This gets easier if you're doing it daily. The problem is, again, we often go to God when we're just emergency. That's not our best. That's not our best time to go to God. Our best time is to go to him on a daily basis to seek his face. So be still and do what? Worship? Hold it. My family's fallen apart. My finances are falling apart. And you want me to do what? Be still and worship you? Like, what's up with that? Well, let me show you a scripture. Again, this is all Bible-based. This is all from the Word of God about these steps. So if you go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, let me give you a little background. There was a king of Judah. Israel had been divided up. So you had Israel and Judah. And the king, Jehoshaphat, was king over Judah. He was a good king. Problem is, there's a lot of bad things happening in the kingdom. And so, here's what happens. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab, the people of Ammon, and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So here you have King Jehoshaphat. He gets word that there are three different nations have come together to gang up on him. Now, let me tell you something. This was a time in Judah. They didn't have a big army. They didn't have many chariots. They didn't have many fighting men. Here's the bottom line. In the natural, they were toast. It was game over. And so Jehoshaphat knew that. So he didn't even bother calling the army up at this point. You can see he didn't even call for the army. What does he do? He calls for the people to seek the Lord, to put God first. Now, God bless him. You know, that's a good step for you and I. Now, let's see how God responds to this. And if you jump down to verse 15 of the same chapter, so 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And back in the day, you know, God spoke through prophets. And so this, the prophet is speaking, representing God. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Let's stop there for a minute. Something you and I need to realize that your enemies are God's enemies. Your problems are God's problems. You see, and all of a sudden now you need to realize that your answer is not found trying to fix the problem yourself. Your answer is found through Jesus Christ. He's what? Your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your Master. He's the one that wants to help you in every circumstance. And so what we need to do is surrender our will, surrender what we would do as a solution, and begin to go to God because He has an answer. He always had an answer. It's just we're not tuned into it. We're just not following what He wants us to do. And so what we need to do is come to that place to hear what He has to say. Now look at what His answer is. This is the most amazing thing. Verse 16. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Okay, verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed tomorrow, or go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. What was he doing? Worshiping. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Worshiping him. And the Levites and the children and the Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. But believe his prophets, you shall prosper. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come down against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and utterly killed and destroyed them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So literally, the Lord turned those three nations against themselves, and they totally destroyed themselves. That literally, Jehoshaphat and his army didn't even have to lift a sword to defeat one person. But what defeated them? What? It was worship. In fact, I'm not sure, you know, imagine our worship team, me telling them, okay, listen, we're going to have to go out and fight, and you guys go out in front of the army. They'd be like, are you sure about that? Yeah, I'm sure it's okay. Go on. I'm not so sure about that. I don't know how they felt about it, but it says that they went out and with loud voices proclaimed his holiness, proclaimed who he was, his goodness. And the Bible says that God set ambushes. In other words, your solution is not found through you, through your mouth and through your actions. It's found through the Lord Jesus Christ and his plan for you. And that's where half the problem is for us. We don't believe that we need to hear the voice of God. We believe a lot of times, we believe the lie of the enemy that we can sort the thing out, that we will be able to work it out. Yeah, God is with us, and we believe that kind of, he's inside, and he'll guide us and direct us. But here's the thing, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. That's you doing it in your own strength. And then when you really fall flat on your face and you're in that 5-alarm fire, then you scream out, Jesus, help me. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not God's best. God's best is for you to be prepared, that you've got the fire hose ready. When the fire happens, you can just go like this and put the fire out. Why? Because you're at the end where you're prepared. And preparation comes through being in his presence. There's no other way around that. And so for you and I, we need to come to that place to be still and worship him, knowing that that's the answer. And it's going to be hard at first when you begin to do this. The moment you're going into his presence to spend that time with him, right away you want to pull your laundry list out. God, I got this problem. I got this. I got this. I got this. You got to put that all to the side. And just come to him and worship him for who he is. Remember, it's not about you, it's about him. Step two is not about you, it's about him. Putting him first. You remember the disciples even came to Jesus and said, how do we pray? And the first thing, hallowed be thy name. And what was Jesus saying? He's saying, worship him first. Honor him. Holy are you, God. And that's what you and I need to do as believers. Put aside, this isn't about you, it's about him. And the beauty of his holiness and his power and his strength in your life. He is the answer to every problem you've got. And so as you do that, let's go back to step one. What do? Make an appointment. Step two now, be still and worship. And I didn't give you a scripture. Let me give you that. Oh, I did. Be still and know that I'm God. Psalms 46:10. Okay, let's move on. Number three, pray and read. Now, you notice I said to you, this isn't about you, and you're saying, well, hold it, pray and read. So pray, all right, again, this isn't about you bringing that grocery list of needs and all this to the Lord. What this is about is opening your heart to Jesus. In other words, what is on your heart at that very moment? You've centered yourself, you've made your appointment, you're in his presence, you've worshiped him, you've spent time with him. What right now is a burden on your heart? In other words, not that list. But right at this very moment, Lord, I'm hurting right now. You get what I'm saying? In other words, what's going on right now? I'm hurting, Lord God, and I need help with this hurt that's in my heart. Will you help me with that? And then you just kind of leave it hanging out there. The idea is, again, this isn't a talk about praying. It's not about talking to God. It's about hearing from him. In fact, for some of us, that's our biggest problem. We finally get to a place of talking to God. And here's how God is up in heaven. Now, and I'm just being a bit facetious. So God's sitting on his throne, right? And the angels are all around. And you're praying, right? And God's pointing to you and he's going. And the angels are snickering, And what's God saying? He's saying, man, if the person would shut up for just a moment, I could get a word in edgewise. And sometimes that's what our prayer's like. It's like we go running into his presence. We finally have a sense that we're in God's presence. And we're going blah, 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 blah. And we're talking. And we wonder why we never hear from God. We never gave him a moment of silence for him to actually say something to us. And so I believe in half time, to be quite honest. When I spend time with the Lord, if I'm there with him 10 minutes, at least 5 of it, my mouth is zipped. Because I want to hear what the creator of the universe might have for me. I've heard myself 100 times. You've heard yourself. Those prayers that you said to him, it's gone through your brain like 500 times already. He already knows what's in your heart. So why don't you just let him know what's just bothering you, what what's going on right at that moment. That's enough. Because again, we're going to talk about prayer another time. This is about hearing from God. So again, you follow these 4 steps the way I'm telling you, you will hear from him. So it's not about prayer. It's just about opening your heart and saying, Lord, this is what's in my heart now. So you just put that over to the side, all right? And so we pray, and then we read. Do we read what, the newspaper, latest magazines? Is that what we're reading? Anybody know what we should be reading? The Bible, yeah? Now, why are we reading the Bible? Well, this is a manuscript. These are God's words transcribed into a book. These are God's words. It's his voice. In fact, literally, probably if Moses had a tape machine, we would have an audio version. You get what I'm saying? But we have it recorded down because that's the way that they had to record. And it's very accurate to do that, right? Because you can go back and relook at it. It's always the same. And so here we have a manuscript of God's word to his creation. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And so after we pray, after we say, Lord, this is kind of where I'm at spiritually. This is kind of what's going on in my life. We kind of lay that aside, kind of leave it hanging out there, so to speak. And then we begin to read his word. And so I've been asked over the years many times, you know, where should I start reading? Well, my generic advice is between the two covers. I'm being a bit facetious with you, but the idea is in the Bible, all right? Now, if you want some advice as to where to read, I highly recommend not starting in Genesis. I really do. Because Genesis is great. Then you get into, you know, some of the other books, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and it's somebody begot somebody and begot somebody else. And you're begotten out of, like, after a while, you're like, just kill me, Jesus. Like, literally, like, I don't want any more begottens. And so the point is, here's where you need to start, in the New Testament, all right? So in Matthew. It's right at the very start of the New Testament. That's where you need to start. Now, again, if you want to read some Old Testament, here's what I believe in, half and half. In other words, if you read a chapter of the New, you're not allowed to read more than a chapter of the Old. I'm just telling you, all right? Just that's my rules. God didn't tell me this. I'm just telling you, all right? Here's why. If you read a whole lot of Old Testament, you become critical, judgmental. It just happens because it's under the law, all right? But you read the New Testament, you read about God's grace, his favor, his mercy, his love. Old Testament's good. In fact, I've read some quotes from the Old Testament. There's good things there. But for us, we are New Testament believers. We believe in the new covenant. That's what we're under. And so we need to focus there. And you want to throw a third reading in, you can read Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. You can read one of those, a day. And then every month you're reading the Proverbs, all right, which are good. Nothing wrong with that. But stay in the New Testament primarily, all right? But if you're going to read Old, I'm good with that. But do one chapter in the New, only one in the Old. Stay in the New. Let the New speak to you. And so what are you doing? Are you reading? Are you doing Bible study? No, this is not about Bible study. In fact, I believe that Bible study, if you start doing a Bible study, and what I'm giving you now, it will sidetrack you from hearing from God. Because a Bible study is a Bible study. This, you are seeking God's voice. You want to hear from him. So this is just about reading the manuscript. Because what can happen is you're like, oh, I wonder what this word means. Then all of a sudden you're looking up this commentary over here, and you're online looking this, and all of a sudden you've gone off into la-la land. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're doing Bible study. You see what I'm saying? But if you want to hear from God, you need to be focused. This is between you and Jesus. Not a commentary, not some word study, not any of that. This is to hear from Jesus for yourself. And let me slide a word in concerning that. You know, we give out devotionals here. We have Word for Today. Excellent devotionals. The youth group, they've actually made some of their own devotionals. They're excellent. But I need you to understand the difference between a devotional. Some of you here read devotionals daily. That's your Bible reading. I want to tell you something. That's not good enough. It would be like, and this is the best comparison I can come to, eating candy bars all day. Now, I like candy bars. But if I kept eating them, what's going to happen to me after a while? About this big around, right? In other words, between meals, it's a good pick-me-up sometimes. You need a little energy, that sugar rush. You know, there's a place for that candy bar. And so I'm not putting down the vote. There's a place for it. But you need to understand that what I'm talking to you about is meat and potatoes. Okay, there's a difference. Candy bar is that pick-me-up thing. What you're reading, you read a little verse, and then you have a commentary. It's someone else has heard from God. Don't you want to hear for yourself? You get what I'm saying? Those things have a place, and it can encourage you, and it can still be a word to you. But the thing is, don't you want to hear from God for yourself? Jesus Christ lives in you. He wants to talk to you personally. You know, it's fine when he speaks to someone else, and that person then speaks to you. Here I am talking to you. And in a sense, what am I doing? I'm hearing from Jesus, what I believe God wants me to say, and I'm telling you. And hopefully some of you are getting something out of this. But when you go home, I hope you're not saying, oh man, I just need to hear more of what Pastor Carl says so I can hear from God. In fact, if you told me that, I'd slap you. I wouldn't slap you. I'd just say, no, don't do that. You know, my hope would be that at best, I inspire you to say, if that guy, if Carl can hear from Jesus, I certainly can hear from him. You get what I'm saying? That's what I want you to think. Because you can't. Because God's irrespective of people. And what that means is he loves us all the same. And Jesus didn't say, My children hear my voice that are only men or only women or only mature believers. It doesn't say that at all. My sheep hear my voice. And that's the heart of God for each one of us to tune into him. Amen. So devotionals have a place, but here's the thing. You and I need to be reading the meat and potatoes. We need to be reading the word for ourselves. You might say, well, I don't get anything out of it. Well, listen, you're not going to get anything out of it if you don't read it. Now, I understand that for some of us, at times, there's literacy issues that literally it is hard to read or impossible to read. There are audio versions of exactly the same book, all right? And if you need one of those, we have them here at the church, actually up in the office. I've got several copies. If you're in that place where, listen, you have trouble reading, being able to comprehend, I understand. No problem at all. We have audio versions. You can do exactly the same thing. You're hearing God's word. Amen. And so don't let that stop you if you have trouble, you know, reading. No problem at all. God, we have the technology. We can work around that now. Thank God for that. Okay. So our number one, what do we have to do? Make it a point. Number two? Number three? All right. Let me give you a scripture. Psalms 119 verse 147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. So that's Psalms 119, 147. I've put my hope in your word. And Psalms 119 verse 11, so the same chapter. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, again, the whole idea that as God reveals himself to us, that we will be able to walk with him hand in hand. That's God's heart. Final point for this morning. Listen and write. So what does that mean? Listen and write. Well, you know, the point before is to pray and read. So at that point, you're doing that. So here's what you're doing at this point. And this is mission critical. Now, some people would call it journaling. I think that's too narrow-minded. Let's not call it journaling. Let's just call it writing down what God says to you, okay? So you take a three-ring binder, some kind of book, put the date on it. You might want to write down what you prayed to God. In other words, what your heart was in it. You know, let's say you're feeling hurt or whatever. You say, Lord, you know, on this day, Lord, this was my prayer to you that I'm feeling hurt. And you might want to put down a scripture reference that you read, you know, the chapter, the book in the chapter. And then what you do, as you've read whatever you've read, what is God saying to you through what you just read? You know, for me, I think of, let's use John chapter 1 for me as an example. Starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then as you keep reading, get down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we seen him and beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only from above. And so as I read that, and I'm like, oh my God, this is talking about Jesus. He always was, he always is. You know, you see what I'm saying? For me, as I would read that, all of a sudden it would explode certain parts to me. Now what's amazing is, as I've read that particular scripture, John chapter 1, it says different things at different times in my life. It's the most amazing thing. It's like the word is alive. Well, it is, right? Jesus is alive. And so the point is, for you, you're going to read John chapter 1, and God may say something totally different to you. Because part of that says the law came through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. You might say, oh, grace and truth. I thank you, Jesus. I'm not under the law. But I'm under your truth and I'm under grace. You see what I'm saying? In other words, for each one of us, it's going to be different. But let me tell you something. That's God speaking to you. You might say, well, hold on. That's not really God's. This is his word, isn't it? And when he reveals something to you, isn't that God speaking to you? You see, I'm going to talk to you in weeks coming of how God can speak to you in your spirit. I'm going to talk to you about how God can speak to you through dreams and visions. But here's the thing, unless you can learn what I'm telling you now, you won't get to those steps. Those things don't happen unless you're doing what I'm telling you now. You know why? The Word of God is the language of the Spirit. And so for God to speak to you through the Spirit, you've got to know the language. And so how do we learn the language? We have to spend time learning the language. Just as if you didn't know English, you have to be integrated into it, right? Immersed in it, you have to learn it. And it's the same for you and I. Though this is in English, there's a language of the Spirit. There's a way of the Spirit that God speaks and who he is and his nature. And so you and I have to do this so that we can move on to the other areas. So let's let God speak to us through his word. Amen. Reveal himself. And here's what begins to happen. You're going to see patterns begin to happen in your life. It's not so much that God answers that prayer that day maybe, but all of a sudden you've written down, you've journaled or entered this information. And here's what happens a week from now. All of a sudden you write down your prayer and then you read something and God speaks to you. And you're like, well, hold it. I prayed over here and that's what God. And all of a sudden you're going to have lines all over your pages pointing and saying, God said this over here and this fits here. All of a sudden it all begins to connect and come together. Most amazing miracle. Now, you know what the problem with all this is? It requires a lot of effort on our part. And that's where most of us fall short. We're just like, just give me a word. Just, you know, I'll just get pastor to pray for me. Here's the thing. Do you realize that when you're not doing what I'm telling you, you're limiting the pastor or any prophet or any person to speak into your life? Because they're only supposed to bring confirmation of what you know already. There shouldn't be anything new. A pastor, a prophet, or someone speaking into your life should never tell you anything you don't know. Not as a New Testament believer. Why? Because God lives in you. He better tell you first. And so then it's the job of the pastor or the prophet to just bring confirmation. So if you're not immersing yourself in the word, not hearing from God for yourself, you're actually limiting God from being able to speak through others to talk to you. In fact, I'll just finish with this story. I didn't tell the story at the first service, so they missed out on this. This happened when, I think Jonathan, he'll correct me, but I think he was about 11 years old. Am I right on that, Johnny? 10, 11 years old? Okay, he's nodding his head up and down, so I'm close on that. I don't get dates real well. I'm more like a, kind of like a flow through the thing a little bit. But anyway, so he was about 10, 11 years old. So he came to me one day, and he said, Dad, I really want a drum set. So what would any good father want to do? Buy him a drum set. In fact, here's the thing. He wanted to use it to worship Jesus. I'm like, man, I'm all in on this, right? So I was beginning to tell him, sure, son, no problem at all. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. Stopped me. And I was like, you know, literally, and here's what the Lord said to me. He needs to ask me for it. And so I said, John, you know, you need to pray about this. You need to ask God for it for yourself. So Johnny, if you could picture him back, you know, the skinny little beanpole kid, he puts his head down like this, puts his hands down. This is how he went like this. He turns around, walks away, right? Goes into his bedroom. I hear the door close. About 10 minutes later, he comes out and I said, well, he goes, well, I asked God about it. Now let me tell you what happens. So I then go to prayer. I said, Lord, you know, really, this is a big deal. You know, I want to help my son. I don't want him to be disappointed, you know, and all this, you know, And the Lord just said, listen, will you just listen to me? Sometimes God has to get our attention, right? Will you just listen to me? So here's what happens. A day later, my wife gets a phone call from someone in the church. So this is like, how many years ago is this, John? You're like 30 now. You're old. So this is like 19 years old. I torment my kids all the time. You're over the hill now. I'm around the bend, but you're over the hill. That's what I tell them. And so my wife gets a phone call. From this lady in the church. He says, you know, God just spoke to me yesterday that one of your kids in your family wants a musical instrument. That's literally what she says. So my wife knew about it. She goes, I'll get back to you. So Sandra comes and says, look, you know, this lady, she told me who it was and I knew who it was. And said, hey, you know, this lady says, you know, she's supposed to buy a musical instrument. And you know, I didn't really want to tell her a drum set because, you know, they're a serious amount of money. And I said to Sandra, I said, look, I'm not putting any limitations on God. You know, let's just call the lady back, tell her, yes, our son, he asked for a drum set yesterday. You know, this is, and tell her the truth. So Sandra called back, told the lady, she goes, okay. And that was the end of the conversation. So at that point, I didn't know what was going to happen. So a week later, I get a call. And a lady says, the drum set's ready, go up. And it was a place up in Kingston. So Sandra, we didn't tell John about it, didn't tell him anything about it. We went up because I thought, you know, what is this, some little kid's toy drum set or something? I didn't know what this lady was going to do. So we go up there, go to the music store, and it's a brand new black pearl, full set of drums. In fact, the set is still, it's up in the annex to this day. It's still used at times. And so we took it home, set it all up downstairs, and called John down, and his eyes just, and I said, it's because you asked for it and you went directly to the source. You see, I don't want you to come to me to get to God. You get to go directly and you can ask him and you can reveal your heart to him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to display his goodness to you. The question I have for you today is this: are you tuning into him? And the only way you can do that, you can't just kind of go down the road and keep doing what you're doing. Say, oh yeah, I'm tuned in. No, you're not. To be tuned in, you've got to follow some steps. You have to do what? What's the first thing you're going to do? Make an appointment. What's the next step? Third one, pray and read. And our last one, listen and write. There's no shortcuts in this. I wish there was. Wish there was cliff notes in this. You know what I'm saying? But there's not. For us to tune in, we have to follow those four steps. To this day, I've known the Lord for over 30 years now. It's a bit of a modified version of this, but essentially, this is what I do in seeking the presence of God. And I know that if anyone here follows these steps, you will hear from the Lord. Let's stand and pray together. How many people are going to actually try this? All right, make me a promise. You won't try it just one day. But you get what I'm saying? Really what I'm talking about here is a lifestyle. Give it 2 or 3 weeks and see what Jesus does. You're going to be amazed. In fact, I encourage you, when you hear from the Lord, pop me an email. Give me a call. I'd like to hear, all right, so that I can thank Jesus with you. Amen. I don't need to know the details. It might be some intimate, special thing. That's okay. Just tell me you heard from him. That's all I need to know, all right? So, Father, right now, I thank you for this congregation. But, Lord, I thank you that you are speaking. And that, Lord God, that you just want to reveal yourself to every single person here. So I pray, Lord, as we follow the steps, Lord God, that you've given us to seek your face, Lord God, and walk with you, that you will speak to us. And so, Lord, I give this day to you. I give this week to you. I give our future to you. I pray a blessing upon every person here as they seek your face. We give you honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.